Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tmura Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We open today's Shiur on Daf Yud Tes 3 lines from the top. It must be emphasized with regards to today's shiur that we are really in the middle of a discussion. So in order to fully appreciate what we are learning as we open up today's shiur, it is absolutely necessary to be well informed of what was discussed during our last shiur, so that we are basically picking up from where we left off. But in general, we're focusing on the shita of Rabbi Elazar that mentioned that if you have a person has set aside a female animal as a korban ola, that's called mafrish nekeva li'ola. An ola must be a male animal. And this female animal then bore an offspring, a male offspring. What do you do? So Reb Elazar said that you are to offer the offspring itself as a korban ola. This is in contrast to the first opinion in the Mishnah that with whom he disagreed, that said that you send the offspring out to graze till it develops a blemish, redeem it, and then use the money for the purchase of an ola. The Gemara itself on Yud Ches Omid Beis had raised what seemed to be a contradiction from a case of a Tmuras Osham, where someone replicated an Osham sanctity onto a female animal, and it gave birth. What do you do with that offspring? So it seemed Reb Elazar there had said something else. We recommend looking back for the sugya. We don't want to complicate things right now. The last explanation, though, that we had for Shitas Reb Elazar was that of Rava, who said that when does Reb Elazar say that you offer the offspring itself as, in that case, an olo? That's because shame oilo al imo. What does that mean? The mother, the original animal sanctified, the female sanctified as an olo, which, as we said, was a mistake, was incorrect to do, but there are no female animals meaning four-legged animals that come as an ola. However, in the realm of ola, a bird can be brought as an ola and also be a female. Gender, when it comes to birds, is of no relevance. Therefore, a bird ola could be a female. Hence, the concept of a female with regard to ola is not a strange concept. Hence, the offspring of a female set aside as an ola can be brought as an ola. That's the concept of shame oilo al imoi. We now pick up our Gemara 3 lines from the top of Yud Tes, and as far as the markings are concerned, this is a continuation of the marking scheme that we had featured on our previous in our previous shiur. We will see the use of triangles in our Gemara, which we did not mention in our previous year. These are triangles that whose positioning will be flipping back and forth. This is what we call a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth style of discussion. So with the point facing up, they represent questions. And with the point flipped over, with the point facing down, they represent answers. And this is explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. So we continue now in the Gemara with a long question. This, you can see, is illustrated by the long question marking, the kuf that's encircled representing kushia or kasha, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line. And it lasts, as we said, a number of lines. Esvei Abaye, v'chi boi Rebbe Elozer shem oilo al imoy. Does Rebbe Elozer really require this idea that in order for the Vlad, for the offspring, to be offered as an Ola, that its mother had to have some association with that particular classification, namely Ola classification? Once again, just to present this in a general form, does the offspring, in order to be offered as a particular sacrifice, have to come from a mother that had a connection to that type of sacrifice, even though the mother herself could not have been brought as that kind of sacrifice? Having said it in this, we'll call, general form, we continue in the Gemara with a similar situation, but we're not going to be focusing on an Ola, but rather a Korban Pesach. It may be noted that a Korban Pesach must be a male animal, male sheep or goat, within a year of age. The source says, and you can see we have a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that the next few lines are in a frame, and in Gemara markings we frame Tanaic sources. We also broke this source down into a couple of sections with Roman numeral 1 and then Roman number 2 and then subsections as well. Hamafrish nekevo lepischoi. Person who set aside a female animal for a Korban Pesach, which is wrong thing to do, tire ad she tistoev, it shall be set out to graze until it develops a blemish, the timocher, and then it will be sold, which in effect is its redemption, and the cash that you get, viyovi v'dameo Pesach, and bring with that money a Korban Pesach. Yolda, if the female set aside as a Korban Pesach gave birth, yireh ad sheyistoev, the offspring is to graze until it develops a blemish, v'imocher, v'yovi b'dam of Pesach, it's sold, and with the money fetched from that sale, a Korban Pesach is purchased. Nishtairo achar ha-Pesach, if it was laid over, or was not used, but continued to be around till after the Pesach, after Korban Pesach, meaning after Yud Dalet Nisan, that 14th of Nisan, so it's no longer, let's say, needed as a Korban Pesach. So then, Tireh Anche Yistoev V'yovi B'domeo Shlomim. So this female that had been set aside, and it's still around, as we said, till after Pesach, so it's sent out to graze till it develops a mum, and in this case the cash that you get for it will be used to purchase a Korban Shlomim. Yolda, if this female that had been set aside as a Korban Pesach gave birth after the 14th of Nisan, after Pesach, Yireh Ad Shistoev, it shall graze, the offspring grazes till it develops a blemish, v'mocher, and so it is sold, v'yavi b'domav shlomim. Now, really, we get to the focus of our discussion. Rebbe Elozer Omer, hu atzmo yikrav b'shlomim. The offspring itself is to be brought as a shlomim sacrifice. V'ho-hocha, in this case, deleko shem shlomim al imoy. The mother was set aside as a Pesach, not as a Korban Shlomim. The Omar Rebbe Elozer, Yikrav Shlomim. And yet Rebbe Elozer says it's offered as a Korban Shlomim. So you see that there is no necessity of having the mother being associated with the identity of the Korban that the offspring will be used for. Again, the offspring here is being used as a Korban Shlomim. The mother was set aside as a Korban Pesach. So this is, and this is Rebbe Elozer. We've emphasized him in our markings with the squiggle underline. So how is it that Rava was explaining Rebbe Elozer's, the Tana Rebbe Elozer's approach by saying that the offering of the offspring of the female set aside as an ola, the offspring is offered as an ola, is because the mother had a connection to the realm of ola. The female had a connection through the idea that birds, even if they're female, can be brought as an ola. Omar le Rava. Rava, who essentially was under attack, he responds. He says, believe it or not, this very case of Pesach is not a question on me whatsoever, but is an additional illustration of what I am saying. Because a Korban Pesach, after the 14th of Nisan, converts into being a Korban Shlomim. So he says, Achar HaPesach Koamas, are you trying to ask from the source that describes the female that had been set aside as a Pesach, but now it's still around after Pesach? Shiny Achar HaPesach, the case of after Pesach is in fact different. The Mosar Pesach Gufei Korev Shlomim. Even if you had your original Korban Pesach, but didn't use it for whatever reason, it converts into a Shlomim. So this idea of shame, of the identity of the mother having an association for that which you want to use the offspring, in fact, is present over here. We can say, shame Shlomim Alimo. The mother, which had been set aside as a Pesach, had a potential for Shlomim in her in the first place. The Gemara asks, Ihochi Nifloig Nami Bereisha, if this be the case, so then Reb Elozer should have spoken up and argued in the Reisha as well. The Reisha was the case of the mother giving birth, the mother meaning this female set aside as a Pesach, gave birth before the 14th of Nisan. Let's glance at Rashi, a few lines down from here, toward the lower part of the narrow lines. Rashi says, Ihochi, the Taimei de Reb Elozer, if it's so that the reason for Reb Elozer, Mishum de Iko Shem Shlomim Alimo, because the mother had a connection to the realm of Shlomim, and hence, therefore, that justifies the offspring as being brought as a Shlomim, Lifloig Nami Beresha, then Reb Elozer should have spoken up in the first part of the Tanaic source. Namely, Yolda Koidem HaPesach. This was featured in the source. Under the Roman numeral number 1, where we have a bays, one bays, where it spoke about Yolda, and the ruling of the source was that the offspring there grazes till it gets a mum, and you use the cash value for buying a Pesach. So Reb Elozer should have spoken up over there and said, "V'neimo Reb Elozer, hu atzmo yikrav, the offspring itself shall be offered. The havlad atzmo yikrav shlomim, that the offspring there could have been brought as a shlomim. Why? The koidem pesach nami, I shochet lepesach l'shem shlomim kosher. Before the 14th of Nisan, if you have an animal that was designated as a Pesach, and you happen to shecht it as a shlomim before the 14th of Nisan, it's an acceptable sacrifice. The Pesach b'shari mos hashana shelo b'yudah l'b'nisan, an animal designated as a Pesach, but you sacrifice it on any day other than the 14th of Nisan, shlomim hu, it has a din of shlomim. Hilkoch shem shlomim alimo. Therefore, the shem shlomim, the label of shlomim is on its mother as well. So the question then is, if Rava's hesber here of the shlomim potential that rests in a Pesach is justification for the vlad being offered as a shlomim, then Abayi's question right now is, why didn't he say something to that effect in the case of the mother designated as a Pesach being having born a child before Pesach? Omar Le, Rava answers, in Hochinami Polig. You are right. You're right, he does. He argues. You don't see that in the source itself, but that Reb Elozer will be consistent. Abaye has his response. And now, as we mentioned, by way of markings, In our previous shiur, we featured Abaye. Here you can see three lines from the top in the house marking. The house markings were a series of opinions as to what Rebbe Lozer's basis is. What's the explanation of Rebbe Lozer in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Chesamid Beis? Here now Abaye introduces the basis of Rebbe Lozer in the Mishnah. Abaye Omar, lo polig midi. Rebbe Lozer will not disagree in the Reisha. In fact, Abaye says that the reason for Rebbe Lozer has nothing to do with what we said, Shem Shlomim Al Imoi. But there's a different equation, if you will, that explains Shitas Rebbe Lozer. Digamiri. We have a tradition. Lemokoim Shehamoisor Holech Havlad Holech. Wherever the mosar literally is the leftover, or it's a situation where you have monies or an animal dedicated to a certain purpose, but it wasn't used for that purpose, what then do you do? So that's called mosar. So wherever the mosar in any given case goes, whatever it's designated for, the vlad will go to that same purpose. And here we continue, la'achar ha-Pesach, a korban Pesach after Pesach, after the 14th of Nisan, the mosar korev shlomim. We'll explain a little bit more about what do we mean by a mosar Pesach after Pesach, but the rule is that it's offered as a shlomim. So vlad nami korev shlomim. That explains why the vlad that we saw in the Tanaic source above, the one being born after the 14th of Nisan, is offered as a shlomim. Avol lifnei haPesach, imei lemai akdisha. Before Pesach, though, when you had set aside a female animal for the purpose of a korban Pesach, which we said was a wrong thing to do. For what purpose was the mother sanctified? If you sanctified a mother as a korban Pesach, l'dmei Pesach, it's the mother's sanctity is one only of a financial nature. It's something that it itself couldn't have been brought as a Pesach. So its sanctity would have only been of a financial nature. Vlad nami l'dmei Pesach. The offspring as well is only it has its sanctity only with regard to a financial level. And that's why in the Reisha you saw the expression V'yovi B'domo of Pesach, and we, with our markings, we'll just to help you navigate, we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And you align that with the star above, and you can see that that line mentioned the Avi B'dom of Pesach. Regarding this point, let us now look at Rashi, who gives a thorough explanation. Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara, Abaye Omar, lo polig midi. Rebbe Lozer doesn't disagree with the ruling of the Reisha of the Tanaic source regarding the offspring born before the 14th of Nisan. The Taimei de Rebbe Lozer lav mishum diko shem shlomim al imo, Rashi says. The reason for Rebbe Lozer in the Seifa, where he said that the offspring is offered, the offspring born after the 14th of Nisan is offered as a shlomim, isn't because the mother is then called a shlomim. Elotaime de Rebbe Lozer bekulhu, the point, the reason that serves as the basis of Rebbe Lozer in all cases, mishum de gemiri, because we have an oral tradition that says, lemokim sha moiser holech, where the mosar goes. We've been using the term mosar, so let's just give an example of mosar. If a person had, let us say, set aside an animal for a sacrifice and it got lost, and he received his benefit or atonement from a replacement animal and then found the first one, that first one is called a mosar. Or a case where a person set aside money and didn't need all the money for the purchase of a particular korban. So the balance is called a mosar. So we say where the mosar goes, im hoya mafrish shnei behemos lachrayas, if he had set aside two animals, one to serve as a backup for the other, im ovda v'hifrish v'niskapir b'acheres, one got lost and he used the other, v'nimtzeis rishoyna, and the first one was then found, l'mokam sh'oysa moysa holech, wherever the mosar goes, that original one that was not needed anymore, wherever it goes, havlad holech, so to the offspring. So, and each korban has its own rules with regard to the respective mosar. Hilkoch gabi mafrish nikevali oila. Therefore, in the case of a person set aside a female as a korban, which was the topic in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, ki hechi dim hifrish oila v'niskaper b'acheres kreva shnia oila. Just like in a case where a person had set aside an ola offering and it got lost and used a replacement one, when he finds the first one is brought as an ola, the ha'nidovan inu, it's a voluntary type offering. The chavayu chazu, they're both fit to be brought as an ola. Vlad de ola, nami, im hifrish nekev lola, korev ola. The offspring of a female that was set aside as an ola will also be brought as an ola, dumya de mosar. Similar to the case of mosar. Gabi osham nami, the mosar osham roya, with regard to the korban osham, which was the subject of the Gemara on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis, when the Gemara had raised a seeming contradiction from a source dealing with osham. So here we explain regarding the osham as well, where the mosar osham is roya. For example, a person set aside a korban osham and it got lost, and he received his atonement through another one and found the original. The rule is that mosar osham is set out to graze. Vlad tmuras osham nami roya, where someone had replicated the sanctity of an osham on a female and it gave birth. The way we deal with that offspring is also grazing. Vegabi Pesach Nami, Achar HaPesach, after Pesach, the Moser HaPesach, Dino Likrev L'Chadchila Shlamim, if you have an animal that you didn't use as a Korban Pesach, then after Pesach, it's called Mosar Pesach, it is then to be offered as a Shlamim, Im Niskap Reba Acher, if he had used, he had already gained his Pesach requirement through another animal, Vlad Nami Korev Shlomim. So the Vlad of an animal set aside, a female set aside as a Pesach, will also be brought as a Shlomim. Koidem HaPesach. However, before Pesach, before the 14th of Nisan, the Mosar Lo Chozi Lamidi, the Mosar, now we're talking before Pesach even came, it's not useful for anything else. Kagoin, what would be the case? Im hifrish shnei psochem lachrayas. He set aside two animals, one to serve as a backup for the other in anticipation of the 14th of Nisan coming. So, lo chazu l'shlamim l'chadchila, neither one of these two animals before the 14th of Nisan is designed to be a shlamim, the stamayu l'pesach, both of them are designated for Pesach purposes. The chad minayu da'avi mosar, the one that won't be used, lo chazu l'pesach, it's not fit as a Pesach either. So we just said it's not fit as a Shlomim, and it's not fit as a Pesach either. The Hoshnei Psochim Lo Yikrav. A person isn't going to offer two Korban Pesach. A person needs only one to fulfill his requirement. Hilkoch Vlad Pesach Nami, the offspring of the female designated as a Pesach as well. Lo Chazi Lamidi. It's not useful. It's not fit for anything. Not a Shlomim, and not a Pesach, just as Rashi got finished explaining. Ela ozil boser ime, the kedusha lidmei Pesach. It follows the rule or the way we treat its mother. The mother, which was sanctified, the female that was sanctified as a Pesach, is at best, we'll say, of a financial sanctity, which we call dmei Pesach. The Honami Kodesh Ludmei Pesach. The Vlad as well has sanctity with regard to we're talking before the 14th of Nisan, has a financial sanctity for the purpose of buying a Korban Pesach. Now, turning back to the Gemara, we see Abaye pointing out that wherever the Vlad goes, wherever the mother goes, or whatever happens to the Mosar, that's what happens to the Vlad. And just to read again in the Gemara, where we have underlined the Aleph, La'achara Pesach the Mosar Korav Shlomim, Vlad Nami Korav Shlomim. After Pesach, if you have a leftover Korban Pesach, it's brought as a Shlomim. So the Vlad is also brought as a Shlomim. Avol Lifnei Pesach, Imei L'mayakdisha, but before Pesach, what was the mother's purpose or designation? L'dmei Pesach, for financial purposes, whereby we said we send the mother out to graze, its value after it develops a blemish is then used to purchase a Pesach. V'ladami l'dmei Pesach. Hence, in the ratio of the source above, we don't see Rebbe Elazar arguing, because he agrees with that. Mosiv Rav Ukva Bar Chamo. A question now is raised, and you'll notice that we have a long question marking. Umi Amrinon, do we really say with regard to Rebbe Elazar, the Ime Ludomi Vlad Nami Ludomi? In other words, we're questioning the explanation that Abaye just gave. The Hotanya, we have a Tanaic source, Hamafrish Nekeva LePesach. If someone sets aside a female as a Korban Pesach, he uvlodoiseho yiru ad sheyistoavu, the machru, the mother, and any offspring shall be set out to graze till they develop a blemish. They're then sold, the Avi B'dmeyam Pesach, and then you bring with their value a Korban Pesach. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Hu Atzmo Yikrav Pesach. The Vlad itself is to be brought as a Korban Pesach. The Hohocha, in this very case, where he set aside the mother as a Pesach, the Ime Ludomi, the mother's designation is at best for her value to be used for a Pesach purchase, the Omer Rebbe Elazar, and yet Rebbe Elazar himself says, Hu Atzmo, the Vlad itself, Korav Pesach, V'lo Mukminon Lei B'imei, and we don't designate the offspring to be like the mother. The mother we send out to graze till it gets a blemish, and we sell it and use the value for a Pesach. But as far as Rebbe Elazar is concerned with its offspring, you offer the animal itself as a Pesach. This is therefore a kasha on Abaye's explanation of Rebbe Elazar. Answer, Omar Ravina. Ravina says that the case featured in this last Tanaic source is different. It's B'mafrish Behema Mu'uberes Askinon. This is a case where he designates a pregnant animal. The animal here is already pregnant before he starts any sanctification. In the discussion above, we were talking about a mother that was designated as a Korban Pesach, and after she was designated as a Korban Pesach, she then became pregnant. What do we do there with the Vlad? So that was above. There we said that whatever the mother's designation is, we would then treat the Vlad the same way. This case is where he dedicated an animal that was already pregnant. And the Gemara explains as we go on, for Rebbe Elazar, Savar, K'Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Elazar holds like Rebbe Yochanan, the Omar, Im Shairo Mishuyar, the Ubar Lav Yerech Imo Hu. If a person wants to dedicate a pregnant animal, but only the mother, and Shairo is leave over, leave the offspring, have it remain, let us say, chulin, or remain, or be a different type of sacrifice, he can do it, because the offspring in the mother is not considered a part of the mother. That's ubar lav yerech imohu. The offspring is not considered like the leg of the mother. The imo, he, the lo kodshe kedushas haguf. The mother, which was designated as a Pesach, doesn't gain inherent sanctity because the mother cannot be brought as a korban Pesach. Abol hu kachi. But the offspring, which is a separate entity, can be sanctified as a korban Pesach. And that's why in this source of just above, where it appeared that a question was being asked on Abaye's explanation, it's not a question. This is a different case. It's a case where the mother was already pregnant, and in such a case, he was able to label the Vlad as something different than the mother. The mother has Kedushas Domim, the Vlad has Kedushas Aguf. Omale marzutra brei derav mori leravino hochi nami mistabro debebehemo muberes askinon. It's also likely. It's also it also appears that way, that the source that was introduced before as a question on Abaye is in fact talking about a pregnant animal, midikotani, from the fact that it said in that source. He uvlodoiseha. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side, a left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align that with the arrow you find above also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you see where this comment is made in the source. He uvlodoiseha indicates that he set aside an animal, a female animal that was already pregnant with its vlodos, its offspring. Shma mino. This is a good proof to that. The Gemara continues at the top of Yud Tes Omid Beis. Omar Reb Yosi Bar Chanina, Umoida Reb Elazar, B'mafrish Nekeva LaOsham, De'ein Bina Korev Osham. Though Reb Elazar disagreed with the Chachomim regarding Mafrish Nekeva LaOla, where Reb Elazar held that the Vlad is brought as an Ola, the Chachamim said, no, the Vlad will be sent out to graze till it develops a blemish. However, in this case, if someone who set aside a female as an Osham, and an Osham also is a type of sacrifice that must come from a male animal, but in this case, the offspring of the female set aside as an Osham will not be brought as an Osham. So this is thanks to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. We now know this. The Gemara asks what I need Rabbi Yossi for that. Pshita, this is a question that you notice will last a number of lines. The triangle here appears and is explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei being the topic, and Mivneh the structural note. Here we've combined them into one note. The triangle you can see out there in the outside margin with the expression in parentheses Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of this section of Gemara. So with the point facing up, they represents Kushyois. Ma mechadesh lana Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina biomro the moedu Rabbi Yosi b'mafrish nekevel oshem dein b'nal korev oshem. What is Rabbi Yosi telling me that I wouldn't have been able to figure out myself, that wouldn't have been obvious to me already? So that's the question basically that's asked, with the triangle flipped over so that those represent responses. The Gemara now. Pshita, I would know Rabbi Yossi's point on my own. Ad kan lo koma Reb Elazar ela b'mafrish nekeva li'ola. Up till now, Reb Elazar spoke about the offspring itself being offered as an ola. That's true in the case where he set aside a female as an ola. De'ikot shem ola al imo. This was a svara that I think we can associate with Rava back on Yud Ches Amid Beis. Avo Gabi Mafrish Nikeva LeYosham, but setting aside a female as an Osham, the Lekos Shame Osham Al Imo, we don't have the mother being associated in any way, shape, or form with an Osham, as opposed to the case of the mother in the Ola case, the female set aside as an Ola, even though a female animal doesn't serve as an Ola, but in the realm of birds, an Olas Ha'ov can be a female. As opposed to the case of Osham, there's no such thing as a bird Osham offering. So that a female's association with the realm of Osham just doesn't exist at all. That's Leko Shem Osham Al Imo. Haha, Afilu Rebbe Lozer Moide Delo Korev Osham. Even Rebbe Lozer would agree that the offspring isn't going to be offered as an Osham. So what do I need Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina for when, as we said, we could have figured this out on our own? The Gemara answers, Ilav the Ashminin, if I had not had Rabbi Yossi Bechina tell me that you are not Makriv the Vlad as an Osham, Havi Amina, I would have thought, Taima de Rabbi Lozer Lav Mishum de Shem Oilo Alimo. I would have thought that the reason for Rabbi Lozer in the case of the offspring being offered as an Ola is not because of Shem Oilo Alimo, not because the mother had an association with Ola, Elo Mishum de Chazi Vlad Lahakrovo, because the offspring is something fit to be offered. If you have a male offspring that happens to an animal born from whatever, and it's a male animal, it's fit as an ola, so offered as an ola. V'hainami ha'chazi la'krova. In the case of mafrish nekeva li'osham, so it has a male offspring, bring it as an osham. Komash molon, I need Rabbi Yossi Berlino to define, to hammer home the point that the reason for Rebbe Lozer in the case of the Mafrish Nekeva Li'ola, that the Vlad is brought as an Ola, is because the mother had a connection to Ola. It is a mother-centered point of reasoning. Not like we might have thought, simply on the feasibility of the offspring itself being brought as a korban. The Gemara asks, "E hachi, if this is so, let us glance at the Rashi on the upper part of the page, the fourth line from the top. E hachi, the taime mishum shein imohu. If in fact the reason for Rebbe Lozer in the Mafrish Nekeva Li'ola story, that the Vlad is offered as an Ola, is because of the mother association to Ola Hud. L'shaminon Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina himself should have taught the Ein Bino Korev Ola. In the case of Rabbi Chanina, which featured Mafrish Nekeva Li'osham, he should have said that the offspring is not offered as an Ola, the Leko Shem Oilo Al Imo, that after all the mother was set aside as an Osham, so the Vlad cannot be brought as an Ola because the mother has no connection to Ola. The Osham Karyo, you called her an Osham. Vuhu hadin diodano de l'osham lo korev, and I would have known on my own that the Vlad, the offspring, is not brought as an osham either. Tahashtu mali oylo. Here, mind you, that if you would have thought to bring the Vlad as an ola, we say no. The ime l'dmei ola azlo, the mother, in a case of mafrish nekeva l'osham, what happens to the mother? We send her out to graze till she gets a blemish. And when we sell her and use the money for Ola purchase, so that the mother in a sort of like indirect way has an Ola connection. Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina should have told us that even so, the Vlad is not brought as an Ola. Amrinon delo korev la'ola. So la'osham, as far as using the Vlad as an osham, the ime delo he velo dome asli l'osham, where in such a case with regard to an osham, not the mother nor the value of the mother goes to osham, kol shekein delo korev. Certainly the vlad will not be offered as an osham. So our question right now is, why does, if the hesber for Rebbe Elazar in fact is in the way say the hesber for Rebbe Elazar in the Mishnah on the Afyut Chesam and Beis that said that the vlad is offered as an olo is because shame olo al imo, so then in Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Chanino should have taught in the case of mafrish nekeva la osham that the offspring is not brought as an olo. And then I would have said kol shekein. I would have been able to figure out on my own that the vlad is not brought as an osham. And to go over that point again, the mother which set aside as an osham has an indirect relationship to ola, because when you set her aside as an osham, we send her out to graze, and the money that we get for her sale is used to buy olas. It's ola korbanos. So the vlad maybe should have been brought as an ola. And if he would have told us, no, even an ola the vlad is not used for, certainly you're not going to bring it as an osham. So why didn't he say it like that? The Gemara answers. Actually, before we read the answer, let's just read the Gemara again with the triangle facing up. E hochi ada ash malon. Instead of Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina telling us the ein b'no korev osham, we actually didn't read this before, but instead of Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina telling us in the case of mafrish nekeva la osham that the b'no, that the offspring is not brought as an osham, Nishma'inon, he should have taught us the Ein B'no Korev Oila, that the offspring of that Mafrish Nekev Elashem isn't brought as an Ola. The Hu Hadin, or as Rashi says in Kol Shekein, it wouldn't be brought as an Osham. The Gemara answers why Rabbi Yosef Huna didn't tell it to us that way. E ashmeinan oilav, had he told us that the vlad is not brought as an ola, have amino oilohu dolo karvo, I would have thought that it's not brought as an oilo dolo akdesh olimo kedosha, because he didn't sanctify the mother as an ola. Avol osham, kevon da akdeshe liime lo osham. But with regard to an osham, since he sanctified the mother, although incorrectly, as an osham, emo vlad korev. I would have thought that the vlad is brought as a korban, as an osham. Komash molon. That's what Rabbi Yosef Ruchina tells us, that even though the mother was designated as an osham, the vlad, according to the Tana Rebbe Elazar, will not be brought as an osham. The Mishnah, hamafrish nekeva la'osham. Well, this is already familiar to us because of our discussions. Here we have someone setting aside a female as a korban osham. Tire ad shetistoev v'timocher v'yovi b'dumeh osham. It's the mother, this female, which is not supposed to be brought as an osham, but was designated anyway as such. It's sent out to graze till it develops a blemish. It's then sold, and with the money you buy a korban osham. V'im korev ashamo, if the owner happened to have offered a real korban osham and achieved his osham atonement already, then yiplu domov linadova, the female that had been designated as an osham, it's the money fetched for it will be then used for nadova, a voluntary sacrifice brought in the Beis Hamikdash. Reb Shimon Omer timocher shaloi b'mum. Reb Shimon says it shall be sold. The mother is sold without the whole grazing issue, sold immediately, even without a blemish. Namely, since the female wasn't fit at all for an osham, it's basically viewed as a massive blemish. It's as if you sanctified an animal with a blemish. When someone does that, he is not imposing upon it inherent sanctity. If a person sanctifies an animal with a blemish, it gains financial sanctity, but not inherent sanctity. And as a result of that, it is able to be sold immediately. The Gemara. V'loma li tistoev. As far as the Tanakhama is concerned, why does he have a requirement for the female to that was set aside as an osham to develop a blemish? Timocher, let it be sold. Kevon delo chazio lemilso hainu mumo, since it's not fit for what it was designated as, that's its mum. And as we said within Rabbi Shimon, we're now asking on the Tanakhama, why not just sell it as is? No, similar to a case of someone who had sanctified an animal with a blemish, that you sell it immediately. And in this case, the femininity of the animal is its blemish. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Hainu ta'am. This is the reason that we don't sell it immediately, according to the Tanakhama. De Amrinon, we say, Migu de nochto lo kedushas domim, since they're descended upon this animal a financial sanctity, a value sanctity, nochto lo nami kedushas haguf. It also gains an inherent sanctity. And we speak about an inherent sanctity, it means only insofar as now requiring the development of a blemish in order to redeem it. Before going further in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin where a couple of introductory points are mentioned. The first point is Makdish Nekeva L'Osham. We are going to be dealing with that. Someone set aside a female as an Osham, and Hamakdish Zohar L'Domov, or a person who dedicated a male animal only with regard to its value. He dedicates the value of a male animal. The Gemara tells us, Migu denochta lo kedushas domim, since there sets upon this male animal value sanctity, nochta lo nami kedushas aguf, it gets an inherent sanctity as well. And as far as that's concerned, the issue comes up of bringing the animal itself then as a sacrifice. Or if you want to redeem it, you will have to wait till it develops a blemish. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rava, Zois Oimeres, from that which Rav Yehuda Marav taught us, that since they're descended upon the animal, a value sanctity, inherent sanctity takes over. So Rava says, what follows from this is, Hikdish Zohar Ledomov, the person sanctified a male animal, but only with regard to the value of the male animal. Kadosh Kedushas Haguf. It will then become inherently sanctified, and that means for us, you will offer it itself as a sacrifice. Itmar. Hikdish Zohar Ludomov. Itmar introduces an Amoraic discussion. If a person had dedicated a male animal, its value being dedicated, Rav Kanomar Kodosh Kedushas Aguf, it automatically gains inherent sanctity, not just value sanctity. Rava Omar Eno Kodosh Kedushas Aguf. It doesn't gain inherent sanctity. V'hodar be Rava L'Rav Kahana. Rava then reversed his opinion to agree with Rav Kahana. Midi Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Based on Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav's explanation of the Mishnah. Namely, this idea of since what we saw in the Mishnah regarding the Tanakama was that since the mother was set aside as an osher, which we said was wrong, but it received value sanctity. Rav Yehuda Marav explained the reason that we have to wait till that female develops a blemish is because that once value sanctity sets upon it, it then develops inherent sanctity, namely Kedushas Haguf. And Rava, having heard Rav Yehuda Amarav's explanation of the Tanakama, he then adopted that himself and applied that to the case of Makdish Zocher L'Domov, the result of that being the male animal, though dedicated as a value sanctity, gains inherent sanctity and is brought itself as a sacrifice. Reb Shimon Omer Timocher Shaloi Bemum. Reb Shimon said that one who dedicates a female as an osham, the female is sold immediately without waiting till it develops a blemish. Omar Lei Reb Chiya Bar Oven Reb Yochanan. Neimo. Migu, why don't we say the svara we've been saying till now? Migu denochta law kedushas domim techus law nami kedushas aguf. That since a value sanctity settles upon the female dedicated as an osham, inherent sanctity should also settle upon her, and as a result of that, require a mum. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Rabbi Shimon the Taimei. Rabbi Shimon, in his statement in the Mishnah that the mother, that the female is sold even before it develops a blemish, is Rabbi Shimon consistent with what he has said elsewhere? The Omar, Kol midi de lo chozi lei legufei, anything that's not fit for itself, for what it's designed for, lo nochto lei kedushas aguf. If it's not fit for what it's been designed for, so it does not gain inherent sanctity. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. In which Rabbi Shimon appears. You will see at the end of this source, we've underlined his name. Osham ben Shona. Vehevio ben Shtayim. There are osham sacrifices that must be within a year of age. That's the example of that is Rashi quotes the osham nozir and osham mitzora. And yet, if he was, let's say, a nozir that had become tomei and needed to bring an osham nozir, which is supposed to be an animal within a year of age, and he brings a 2-year-old animal, it's a wrong thing to do. Ben Shtayim vehevio ben Shono, or an osham that's supposed to be a 2-year-old animal, and he brings a 1-year-old animal. Sheira, the sacrifice is acceptable, however, the owner doesn't fulfill his requirement with that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Atzmon Einon Kedoshin. They're not sanctified at all. If you're supposed to bring a Ben Shona, you bring a Ben Shtayim, or the other way around, it doesn't gain sanctity. The Gemara asks, Vehare mechuser zman delo chazi. Mechuser zman is a situation where an animal is literally lacking in time. For example, if a person had shechted the mother of a particular animal that day, he cannot bring the offspring as a sacrifice on the same day. That's called the Isser of Oysev Vez Benoy. So the second animal on that particular day is called Mechuser Zman. It's not the time yet for it. Wait till tomorrow. So there's this concept of Mechuser Zman, Delo Chazi. It's something that's not fit to be brought, the armor of Shimon the Kadosh, and yet Reb Shimon says that it does gain sanctity. If you were to, let us say, have shechted the mother on a particular day, you could dedicate on that very same day the offspring as a sacrifice. So it does something that you, but you can't bring it that day as a sacrifice. So we see that even though it's not roi legufo, it does gain kedusha. The Gemara says, "Shiny mechusar zman." The example of mechusar zman is different. The chazi lemocher. It's something that will be fit tomorrow, though. You can't compare that to a female that was set aside as an osham. That's a lacking. That's an inherent lacking that will never be fit. And as a result of that, Rabbi Shimon had said that if you sanctify a female as an Oshim, it doesn't gain Kedushas Aguf. It's something that's not Roy, not today, not nor tomorrow. As opposed to Mechusar Zman. Question, E. Hachi. Well, following this line of thought, going back to the Oshim cases, Oshim ben Shtayim veheviu ben Shona. If you were supposed to bring a two-year-old Korban Oshim, that is the case when he performs. Rashi goes through the examples: Alshem Gezelos or Mi'ilos or Shifa Harufa, different types of sins for which the Torah requires a two-year-old Korban Alshem. And the source spoke about someone like that, and he brought a one-year-old animal. Well, Ha Chazi Lashana, next year it will be fit. Why does Rav Shimon say in that case it doesn't gain sanctity? Elo, hainu taimo derebi shimoin b'mechusar zman. As far as the realm of mechusar zman, that though it itself is not fit, according to Rabbi Shimon, does gain inherent sanctity. The reason for this is the yolif le mi b'chor. He learns this concept, the concept of mechusar zman gaining inherent sanctity from the realm of the firstborn. Kedesanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omar Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Mechusar zman nichnas ladir lis aser. An animal, another example of mechusar zman is an animal that was recently born. It hasn't reached an eighth day of its life. So you have this very young animal. It's less than 8 days old. In this source, we're saying that, by the way, that's a mechusar zman, because an animal before it reaches its eighth day of age cannot be brought as a sacrifice. So let us say you have a seven-day-old animal. It can participate in the Meiser Behemoth tithing, which means you count the recent births in your herd or flock. They walk out through a narrow passageway one by one, and you count them off, and when you hit number 10, that's designated as the Meiser Behemah. Let's say you have this young animal, this 7-day-old animal, comes out as number 10. That's what Mechusar Zman Nichnas Ladir Lis Asir means. This 7-day-old animal goes through the passageway for the counting, and it can be designated Varehu Kibachor, and it's treated, it becomes sanctified. Like is the case with a bechor. Ma bechor kadosh lifnei zmano v'korav la'achar zmano. A bechor, as it's born, it gains sanctity. When do you offer it? You can't offer it on the day that it's born. You have to wait. So you see that a bechor gains sanctity before it can be brought. It's, as we said, it's kadosh lifnei zmano, and then it's offered after a while. Af mechusar zman kadosh lifnei zmano, v'korev lachar zmano, so too mechusar zman, just like bechor, mechusar zman can gain sanctity, and we were speaking about the meiser behema, it gains sanctity as soon as it's designated as number 10, and it will then be offered when it reaches the age of 8 days, when it can actually be offered as a sacrifice. So what we have discussed in the last few lines is that Shitas Rabbi Shimon basically is something that can't be brought itself as a korban doesn't gain inherent sanctity. With that, we were able to explain Shitas Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, someone who set aside a female as an osham, he sells her immediately even without waiting till it develops a blemish, because you're dealing with something that does not have Kedushas Haguf. Something doesn't have Kedushas Haguf, so you don't have to wait till it develops a blemish. You might have raised the question from the realm of Mechusar Zman, where it's something that cannot be brought itself. does gain inherent sanctity? So the Gemara answered at the Lamaskona that the reason for it, a mechusar zman gaining sanctity, is because we learn that the precedent setter for mechusar zman is the case of Bechor. The nature of Bechor is as soon as it's born, it gets sanctity, though it can't be brought. So too, all other cases of mechusar zman, they do gain inherent sanctity, even though at that moment they can't be brought. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.